Thank you, guys. I do. That meant to call it with me that time, yeah.
All of mankind, or all of humanity, we were all born to be set apart for the service of God. So we could probably ask the question, what happened? But we're not going to, because we know what happened. Sin came into the world. But we were all born so... God born us all distinctly. Each one of us have separate traits. Each one of us have separate characteristics. We were all born for the service of God. So that means every one of us, go clear back from the beginning of time, Adam and Eve, on through till God sees fit for time to be over. Everybody is placed here for a specific purpose. So this is something that we should think about a lot in our life. So how does it make you feel? And as a non-believer, you wouldn't be able to answer this question. But how would you make you feel knowing that every day it's not your day? And it's not my day. Now, there's a lot of times at the end of the day you might say, boy, this just wasn't my day. That's because of sin. That has nothing to do with God's purpose. But every day it's not your day. Every day that you live your life here upon this earth, it belongs fully and completely unto God. That is our day. So if every day of our life belongs fully and completely unto God, then don't you think that we should allow God to dictate what we do? What our use is for today. Now, you're going to find that there's going to be a lot of Christian people that says, well, if my day belongs to God, then I must not have any part of it then. But you have a great part of it, especially as a Christian, because if your day, if you devote your whole day completely and fully unto God, then I can tell you one thing that is going to happen. Your relationship with God is going to get greater. That's what happens when we devote our whole day unto God. Now, when we do devote our day unto God and we allow our relationship to grow, then we begin to recognize, not see, because there's a lot of times in our life that we see the blessings of God going on around them. We just don't recognize that. How many times have you said, I see God blessing all these other people, why isn't He blessing me? See, we see the blessings, but we don't recognize, you know, when God blesses you, it blesses me, or it should.
Yeah.
When God blesses me, it should bless you. But we don't always see that because of jealousy, worldly, prideful jealousy sometimes only sees what Satan wants you to see. So when our relationship begins to grow, we begin to recognize these things going on in our life and around our life. And we understand that God has entrusted us with a lot. We are entrusted with a lot. And He's given us the responsibility to keep His righteousness active in this world. Not our own self-righteousness, but His righteousness. So we have to ask ourselves a lot of times, how are we going to accomplish the responsibilities that God has given unto us? Have you ever got up of a morning and said, Lord, I know You've given me all this responsibility. How am I going to accomplish it today? This should be one of the things that we talk to the Lord about. And first of all, He's going to show you that there is no doubt that we cannot accomplish God's will on our own. Even though we try, we can't do it because we live in a sinful, fallen state of man. So we have to learn to walk according to God's desires. Our desires has to be the same as His desires. When they're not the same, we walk away from each other instead of walking together with one another. So, since we have surrendered our life to God, then that means He has set us apart for His service. And this all takes place in our life through the indwelling Holy Spirit that we have through our salvation. So because of this indwelling Holy Spirit, we now have acquired many of the attributes or the characteristics of God. So what are some of those characteristics of God that you acquired? Somebody name me one.
Love.
What's another one?
Joy.
What's another one?
Peace.
What's another one?
Humbleness.
That's what I want to get to. You know, it's easy a lot of times to say I acquired all these characteristics that is easy for me to shine forth. Can I superficially shine forth the love of God? Sure you can. God knows it's not true, but maybe some others don't. Blessings and all these things. But some of the things that he wants us to allow to come forth, He wants us to be humble. He wants us to be merciful. He wants us to be what? Sympathetic to others. How many of you are sympathetic to others? Yeah, I couldn't put my hand up either because I'm not real sympathetic either sometimes. Are you tender-hearted? Are you responsive to the needs of others? Are you forgiving? Are you full of godly compassion? See, these are characteristics that we acquired, but sometimes these are characteristics that we don't want to portray. And they're all characteristics of God, and they're all characteristics that God has commanded us to allow to shine forth in this world, especially to all of those that we come in contact with. Now, in 2 Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17, he says, we've acquired these things, he says, so that the man of God may be perfect, and that means striving for the perfection of God. And he says, we are thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, if so many people say, well, I don't know what God has for me to do. He hasn't really given me the ability to do a lot of things that I would like to do. Here he told Timothy, he said, God thoroughly furnished you to do all good works. So that's no excuse. A lot of times we don't know what the good works of God are is because, first of all, we don't study the Word of God. Second of all, we might study the Word of God, but you can't just study, you've got to apply. So that means being obedient to the Word of God. Then we'll have the ability to successfully show others what salvation is all about. Now, I know that we live in a world that's full of deception. So every day you're going to deal with temptation. Every day you're going to deal with deception. And what Satan is doing with this is he's trying to destroy your faith. He's trying to get you where he's going to lead you, where you will only walk and lead a fruitless life. But God has furnished us with everything that we need. God's in, intent for mankind is not to depend upon our own wisdom and knowledge, but depend upon Him. Depend upon His wisdom and knowledge. We cannot go through life on our own self-merit or our own fleshly works. So, is the church full of believers that profess Christ but truly don't live for Christ? Sure it is. The Bible tells us that these days that we live in, there'll be many come in and profess and not really believe. So Satan, he is all about getting us to doubt God's Word. If Satan can get you to doubt God's Word, he can get you to disobey God's Word. So, and we can see this from the very beginning of time. How did Satan get Eve to disobey? The first thing that he said, if you go back in the book of Genesis chapter 3, he says, yes, God did tell you, you shouldn't eat of every fruit of every tree, but I'm here to tell you that it's okay to eat of that. You'll not surely die. So first Satan got Eve to doubt God's Word. Then he got Eve to disobey God's Word. And because of temptation and disobedience, man transgressed into sin. And now we live in a fallen state of man. Every day you're going to be tempted to doubt the Word of God. And if Satan can tempt you into doubting the Word of God, he will tempt you into disobeying the Word of God. So let's go to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 36, just for a moment. Chapter 36. Chapter 6, verse 36. And there's one of God's most important attributes or characteristics that He gives to us, that He wants us to follow. In the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 36, He says, and this is Christ Himself talking to the disciples, He says, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." Now, God wants to extend to us all His characteristics and all His attributes. And being merciful is just one very important one that He wants to extend to us. But God can only extend these characteristics to you if you are willing to experience them. Now, you can look up the word merciful in the dictionary and you can tell me all day what the word merciful means. But if you're not merciful, I don't see the meaning of it. Because we haven't experienced for ourselves. Mercy, what is mercy? Mercy is something that only can be given by God. And He provides it through His love, through His grace, through His kindness. And He provides it to those who do not deserve it. Now you've got to provide something to somebody that they don't deserve. And we're going to see what that is here in a minute. And it's not, I know our minds begin to turn and we think, well, we gave so-and-so this and we gave so. That's not being merciful. That might be being generous. That might be doing something good for somebody. But that's not being merciful. God provided us with something that we did not deserve. What was it? It was His Son Christ. That's where our salvation came from. What are you going to provide to somebody else that they don't deserve? So that when He says, "Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful," you know, for those who refuse the gift of mercy from God, they've already invited God's judgment and wrath upon themselves. Every day in our life that we refuse God's mercy, we're inviting the consequences of not accepting that mercy upon ourselves. So if you go back into the book of Proverbs chapter 29, and a lot of times we don't get back into the Old Testament study, but you go back and you read and study this verse. He says, chapter 29 verse 1, he says, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." If we continually reject God and His warnings, then we continually put ourselves at risk of His judgment. Now, on the other hand, if you look in the book of Psalm, the 136th Psalm, verse 1, Psalm 136, verse 1, he says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." So for those who are obedient, then God's mercy is going to endure. But one thing that God doesn't offer is He does not offer eternal patience for disobedience. So that means eventually the opportunity to repent will be gone. Whether it's when He takes you out of this earth, when He comes and calls the church out, at the end of the tribulation period, at the judgment seat of Christ, whenever this happens, that opportunity to repent will be gone. That's why the Bible says what? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Right now. Because when you get up and leave, the opportunity to repent might be gone. So, for the world that we know it, and a lot of times, as Christians, we do the same thing. Humanity in general lives for the moment that they're in. And we live for the moment that we're in because we have the mindset that our life will just continue on forever. You don't know how many people have told me, "Well, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that because I'm healthy and I'm going to live forever." If you remember the story of the rich man in the Bible, what did he say? He said, "I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build bigger, I'm going to do all these things." And God said, "What, thou fool? Tonight thy soul will be required of thee." We should not live just in the moment of our day. And one of the reasons that we should not live in the moment of our day is because every moment of your day belongs to God. So that means we should live in the moment of His eternal life or His eternal plan. So in order to do this, we've got to learn how to keep doubt out of our life. Doubt, worry, anxiety, all of these things that come up against us, we've got to learn to keep that away, because every day of our life that passes, it's not just a day of our life, but it's a day that we can be an example of God's mercy towards somebody else. That's what our day is. And it's another day that we are blessed with the responsibility and the opportunity to do what God wants us to do. So what does it mean to be merciful as God is merciful? Think about this just a little bit. Mercy, it's God's way of holding a just condemnation away from us that we so rightfully deserve. And we don't have the power, even though a lot of times we think we do, we don't have the power to hold God's condemnation. We have not that power. But we do have the power to tell others. One of the things that we do as a Christian, because mercy means that we should share the truth of God's Word to other people. Now, sometimes sharing the truth of God's Word means that you're going to hurt their worldly emotional feelings. And there are people out there that are pretty abrasive when they talk about the truth of God's Word. I've had people, people tell you all the time, don't talk to me about religion. Don't talk to me about salvation. Somebody else preached to me. That's because when we share the truth of God's Word to other people, we must do it through and by the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So that means we do it with love and compassion. You know, when you witness to somebody, and here's a lot of times where we go wrong in our life. When we witness to somebody, a lot of times they just see the worldliness in your eyes. But when you talk to somebody about the Lord, when they look at your eyes, and you know, a lot of times when we talk to somebody, we don't like to look each other in the eye. And that means that we're probably not being truthful with one another. But when we talk to somebody about the Lord, and they look into your eyes, the only thing that they should see is how willing you are that you don't want them to die and go to hell. They should see that willingness within you. If they don't see that willingness within you, then they don't see the compassion to be saved. When Christ talked to somebody about salvation when he walked upon this earth, they seen his willingness and his desires, and it was all about them. It was all about their salvation. When we speak to somebody about God, people should see that this person really cares for me. He really wants me to see what salvation and eternal life is all about. When we're able to do that in our Christian life, then are we able to lead others to what God and the saving grace of Jesus Christ is all about. People say, well, I talked to them and they weren't willing. Maybe you weren't willing when you talked to them. See, I have to be willing, they have to be willing. God is the one that makes that happen. So, Mark chapter 16, and Christ himself told his disciples, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Our desire should be the same as God's desire, and that is that everyone would repent, come to repentance. And our desire should never be, and you think about this, because if we're truthful and honest with ourselves, we've all probably wished this upon somebody at one time, but we should take no pleasure in the death of somebody that claim to be wicked, knowing that they might have be spending their eternity in hell. We should take no pleasure in that. But I've heard person after person after person say, well, they got what they deserve. No. If you would ask God even though God had to send them there, he would still say they didn't deserve it. But we should take no pleasure in that. So our desire, and there's a difference in what we hope and what we desire. I can stand up here all day and say I hope that everybody in the world will get saved and go to spend their eternity with the Lord. Or I can say I desire that everybody in the world gets saved and goes to spend their eternity with God. And if I desire it instead of just hoping for it, then that means through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to try to do something about it. You know, all of us can hope. Well, I hope the neighbor down the road gets saved. He's on his deathbed. I hope he gets saved before he dies. Did you go down and talk to him? Did you just hope he would get saved? Or did you desire that he would get saved? Meaning that you're going to try to do something about it. Or go talk to him. Share with him the Word of God. So there's a big difference in what we hope happens and what we desire happens. You know, God patiently, because this is what mercy is, God patiently waits for people to change. We patiently wait for nothing. But God patiently waits. God patiently waits on me every day. And He patiently waits on you every day. For us to change. Because God is patient unto salvation. That's the difference. But don't be misconceived in thinking that just because He patiently waits for people to change, that there's not one day going to be judgment. Because one of these days, God's mercy will eventually turn to judgment for those who continue to reject and are disobedient unto God. That's why He tells us over in the book of Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28, He says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." So when you read this passage of Scripture, you begin to see the reality of what being merciful is all about. For the non-believer, they see the truth of God's Word as just something to ignore. It's our job to make sure that they know that they shouldn't ignore it, because it's a sure fact. It is going to happen and it is going to take place. And the Bible says that the sting of death is what? Sin. But Christ's death became our death, and our judgment was poured out upon Him, so therefore it won't be poured out upon us. So the Bible says, for this reason, for those who believe, then death has lost its sting because Christ paid our sin debt. So ask yourself this morning, am I merciful? And then ask yourself, am I merciful as my Father in heaven is merciful? Now, if you tell others about the truth of God's Word in its entirety, it's easy for me to go out and say, well, you need to be saved because one of these days you'll get to go to be and live with the Lord. Ended it right there. That wasn't the truth of God's Word in its entirety. The truth of God's Word in its entirety is, yes, if you accept the saving grace of Jesus Christ, one day you will get to go live eternally with God. But if you reject and are disobedient to the truth of God's Word, then awaiting for you is God's judgment and wrath and condemnation of hell. That's the entirety. That's being merciful. If you want to show mercy to somebody, tell them about heaven, tell them about hell. Help point them in the right direction. So if we are doing these things in our life, then we're learning to be merciful. Will you ever be as merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful? Not in this mortal body. One of these days when you gain immortality, yes, you will be as merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. But for now, we're learning. And learning means telling the truth about the entirety of God's Word. So yes, we can learn to be merciful. We can learn to strive for the same desire that God has. And His desire is that all would come to the knowledge of repentance and accept that for their life. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts that You give us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to show mercy, Lord, to those around us. And we just pray, Lord, that as we learn the true meaning of being merciful, that we would show others around us, Heavenly Father, what that mercy that You gave unto us is all about. We're so thankful, Lord, that in the entirety of Your sovereignty, Lord, that You gave us Your Son so that He might accept Your wrath on our behalf and pay our sin debt for us, so that we might go on to live eternally one day with You. We just pray, Lord, that we live up to that opportunity that You give us, Heavenly Father, that each day we strive for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding, so that we can show others what Your saving grace is all about. Help us throughout our life, Lord, to strive to do those things that are pleasing unto Thee, Heavenly Father, so that our light might shine before others, that others might see the goodness of You within each and every one of us. Forgive us, Lord, where we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
Okay, Wednesday evening, remember, we are still talking about the city and the tower, which is called Babel. So come out and enjoy what everybody has learned and found out. Does anybody else have anything this morning?
I got it, something hard to keep the deers out. So I started reading down the comments, and it was just funny, some of the things that people were posting. This